What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Thank you so much for tuning in to the Big Honker Podcast. Hopefully everybody's made it through hunting season in one piece. We are now into the off season. This podcast is brought to you by none other than Double T British Kennels. Mr. Corey has got some of the finest Brit Labs out there that are on the market today. You can go to his website at britlabs.com and get in contact with him there.
Buy you a pet and a working dog all together at the same spot. Great package. Logan, who works for us, he's got a dog, Delta, perfect pet, perfect hunting dog. Go to britlabs.com.
That's all you got to do. Also, we're brought to you by Hemp Hill Farm. Getting old, you get some ouchies every once in a while. There's a promo code, BHP. It will save you 20% off of checkout. They also have a way you can save 30% on your first order. CBD is the way to go. Hemp Hill Farm is naturally derived CBD. It's all organic. Taking care of all of my growing pains.
Right, Jeff. Now, they've got a gummy sale, 20% off plus free shipping.
Can't beat it.
Nope. It's hemphillfarm.com. Farm is spelled PHARM.com. I take a gummy every night for bed. Helps me sleep good. Do not wake up with a hangover. I take one about 10 o'clock. I go to bed about 10:30. Usually about 6 o'clock in the morning, I roll out of bed and I feel fine. One other thing too. I have plantar fasciitis in both feet, both my feet. I tore both of my Achilles in my younger years. It's a side effect of it. When it does bother me, it doesn't very often. I take the salve or the roll-on and put it on. It automatically wipes it out. At Turkey, he brung some to Turkey for us at all. Stood on concrete for 3 straight days. Walked 10,000 steps a day. Oh, knees get a little ouchy and stuff. They got me a new blood pressure medicine. Put that stuff, rub it on my knees and joints. Feel like a million. Feel like a 22-year-old after I do that stuff. Works perfect. Good.
Hemphillfarm.com. Next, we're brought to you by Lucky Duck. Listen, they've got a lot of products. It's predator season now. You know, people are going after coyotes and bobcats. Shoot and raccoons. You know, Lucky Duck has something for everybody. They've got kennels out there. They're 5-star crash test rated kennels. You can put it in the back of your truck and strap your dog down and not have to worry about what's going to happen to him in the event of an accident. Obviously, everybody knows about their waterfowl line. They've got the best A-frames on the market, the 2x4 blind. They're a one-stop shop. I mean, they've got everything. They've got e-collars, they've got kennels, they've got motion decoys. We ran their rotary system a couple times last year. They've also got some new products that are going to come out later in the spring and summer. So check them out at luckyduck.com. They got a turkey line out there now. I mean, they've got all sorts of stuff. So just head over to luckyduck.com, whatever you're looking for. They have something for you. That is at luckyduck.com. Next, we are brought to you by Dirty Duck Coffee. If your coffee sucks, it is not the duck. They are growing and expanding. They've got some of the best coffee that you'll ever drink. Morning Wood, Sun's Up, Guns Up, First Flight. It goes on and on. Missouri Boat Ride Blend. You can subscribe. You can get coffee shipped straight to your door. You can figure out the delivery, how often you need your coffee delivered, and you can save a little bit of money if you subscribe to their loyalty program. DirtyDuckCoffee.com. They've got amazing looking swag. Saw some of it at NWTF. Jay and Buck are great guys. They're on a whole tour with all the hunting shows coming up. So if you want to get your hands on it and try a couple different blends before you buy something, if you have a hunting show, big hunting show coming up, I'm sure they'll be there.
Check them out at DirtyDuckCoffee.com. Look for them in the East, on the East Coast. They're going to start being in Food Lion grocery stores, a few of them. So anyways, check them out at DirtyDuckCoffee.com. Best swag in the market. Great coffee. It's all we drink here at the Big Honker Lodge.
Next, we're brought to you by Shin Gear. My goodness, they had an incredible booth at NWTF. It was packed the entire time. I tried to go by and talk to them and loaded with people. They're kind of tinkering with some of their wader products. They've got the 2S system that's coming out. It's got 2 seams on it instead of 7, I believe. You know, if anything is going to go wrong on a wader, it's usually at the seam. So they're cutting down the number of seams on their new waders. The jack shirt's out. Bibs are out. I wear the bibs every single day here. Waterproof, windproof. It's all you need. Shin Gear, I'm telling you, they are the way to go.
The scout boot I wear every single day during hunting season. Every day. They got a brand new. They got tons of colors. Fixing to get me some gray ones. I love them. They're great. I'm telling you right now, if you wear anything outside in your garden or nothing, even with shorts, you can put them on. They slip on. They're comfortable. It's the way to go. Shingear.com.
Next, we are brought to you by Boss Shot Shells. Bismuth is the way to go. Copper-plated bismuth. Turkey season's coming up. They've got all of their turkey stuff ready to ship to your door. It's all TSS. I shoot 9s. That's what I shoot. I like a lot of pellets. In my mind, you send a hornet's nest out to them, the flop starts. So They've got War Chief. They've got their Legacy line and Waterfowl. They've got Boss Tom. The gear is amazing. Call the shop if you want any of the gear. Phone number is on their website, BossShotShells.com. We're proud to be associated with them.
Yes, On the Road with Boss. Jeff and Andy comes out in March 18th, I believe.
March 18th.
Check them out at BossShotShells.com. Thank you very much.
Next, we're brought to you by Pacific Custom Calls. Pacific Calls and Post Falls, Idaho. Anything you need. Waterfowl, geese, ducks, turkey. They've got a call for it. You know, great guys up there at Pacific Calls. They had a hell of a show at Portland. They're retooling a lot of the stuff. The PCD duck call has undergone a transformation, making it more versatile for more people to get their hands on and feel comfortable with the call. They also have the Turkey Rodeo. It is going to be April 20th, Post Falls, Idaho. They're having a big shindig up there. Bring your turkey, biggest turkey with weight, spurs, beard. Combine those. Biggest turkey will win $1,000 and a belt buckle. So they got a lot of cool things going on with Pacific Calls. Check them out, PacificCustomCalls.com. We have a promo code with them, BHP25, 25% off your order. Not going to find a better deal than that. Next, we're brought to you by Dive Bomb Industries, the leader in silhouettes, Silla socks. They are great. That's what we use out here every single day. It's easy to throw out a big spread with Dive Bomb. You can throw out 50 dozen and it's not a big deal. They got a floater line out. They got some full bodies out there now for snow geese. And that's all going on right now. Squad Fest is going to be July 19th and 20th, the 3rd or 4th. I can't remember. I think 4th. So it's coming up. Make plans to be in St. Louis around that time. Great guys and hard workers. They're always ahead of the curve.
Going to be a good time. Can't wait to see you there. Come by and see us. Andy will sign some titties.
Yeah.
Divebombindustries.com.
Next, we're brought to you by the Looking Glass Podcast. Head over to their Patreon account. Get signed up. Logan and Rebel, they put out a hell of a show. They got a bourbon review, and they're just great guys to listen to. The big sultry voice of Logan Pyatt.
The bourbon review is worth it alone. If you're a bourbon drinker, these guys, they talk about it. They know their bourbons. Professional drinkers, basically. Looking Glass Podcast on Patreon.
Next, MLR Graphics. Baseball season's coming up. You're going to need jerseys. MLR Graphics in Breckenridge, Texas can hook you up. If you head over to their website, mlrgraphics.com, you can get in contact with them. Whatever you need, shirts, hats, they can do it all there in the great city of Breckenridge, Texas.
They do all of the stuff for the Big Honker Lodge. So anything that's got a Stanfield or a BHP logo on it is done by MLR Graphics. Holler at Michael at mlrgraphics.com.
Next, we are brought to you by Ducks Unlimited. There is not an organization that is doing more on behalf of waterfowl hunters. They are putting ducks back into the sky. They are the leader in wetland conservation. Figure out a way to get involved with them. Either start a chapter, join a chapter. Your money gets put to work to put more ducks into the ecosystem for us.
And they will be having a ducks, I guess it'd be a ducks event next year. There's not one this spring. Right. Spring of 2025, being Memphis, Tennessee, will be a big convention. Will be a really good time. Look forward to seeing y'all there.
Next, we're brought to you by Alpha Outdoor Specialties, maker of the Stanfield stool. Save my back all last hunting season. Nice chair, sets out in the A-frame. You can sit up, you can sit back, you can lean back, you can swivel. It's a perfect way to spend a morning in an A-frame. No more bucket butt for me. You can find it at alphaoutdoorspecialties.com along with all their other stuff. They've got a blind caddy. You can keep your coffee up there, your shotgun shelves. You can even hang a heater buddy if you need to. They are an innovative company. So Alpha Outdoor Specialties, if you need a Stanfield stool or a blind caddy. Next, we're brought to you by Mossberg. Don't sleep on the 940 waterfowl gun. That's what we shoot out here. Oh, everything's oversized. Listen, it's cold out there. Your fingers get cold. You need big things. The charging handle is bigger. The safety's easy to get to. The 940, it's a very, very good gun. It's what we use every single day. In the blind, whenever we get to shoot, they've also got rifles. They've got all sorts of stuff. Competition guns, handguns, whatever you need to take down, you can be shooting a Mossberg. Mossberg.com.
They also are great stewards for the youth. They give us guns every year for the Gold Star Hunt, which we will have the first weekend in November or first weekend in October up here. Thank you so much, Mossberg, for reaching out and doing so much for the Gold Star kids in the military. That's Mossberg.com.
Last but not least, it is Stanfield Hunting Outfitters. You can come out here and spend time with us. Dove season will be here in just a couple short months. We got a couple openings for that.
Yes, I've got some weekday hunts during the weekdays open. I don't have a lot of weekends open. I think I got the, I may be able to do one group of eight on first weekend, which is the 8th, I believe. And then the second weekend, the 15th, I've got one group opening for 8 to 12. And that's it for the weekends. And then weekdays, we can do a private group for 20 people. Anyways, that's at stanfieldhunting.com, 940-658-3172. And if you call, Jeff will answer the phone. If not, leave a message and I'll call you back.
And rolling.
All right.
Here we go.
Boom, and welcome to the Big Honker Podcast brought to you by Alpha Outdoors. I'm Jeff Stanfields with Andy Shaver.
Yeah.
I left off the world famous.
That's okay. It's not true anyway.
With us today, from not that shithole they call Chicago, Illinois, but south of there in central Illinois, is a police officer, Mr. Alan Duran. Alan, how are you doing, sir?
And now we can't hear you. Oh, that was my bad.
Can you hear us now, Alan?
I can hear you good.
Yep.
I'm doing fine. How are you guys?
Doing good. As a police officer, breaking news this morning, or I heard about it last night, but it was interesting. I wanted to talk to you about this. The city of Toronto in Canada, which is another shithole itself because of their stupid-ass policies. Did you see now where they're telling people to leave their car fobs on their front porch so they don't have to worry about having a confrontation when someone steals their car? And the police officer, this is no shit. This is what the police officer said. He said, and these people have real guns with bullets, not fake guns. Well, fuck yeah, it's a gosh damn gun. What do you expect it to be?
Well, yeah, the general idea should be that everybody they encounter has a gun if they're a police officer. But I'm assuming it's going to work out just how everything worked out in Portland where they decriminalized all the drugs. And now they're like, maybe we should go back and recriminalize methamphetamine and heroin and all that kind of stuff.
I just cannot understand where first they tell you that it's a gun. Oh, it's a real gun too. And that they have bullets in it. Well, let me tell you something. If I pull my gun out,
they're saying that the robbers have.
Yes. Okay. Yes. But the police officer said it. It's like talking to a bunch of 5-year-olds and they're guns and they're not fake guns. They're real guns. They have real bullets in them. Yeah. No shit. If I pull my gun on somebody, it's got a bullet in the chamber and ready to fire. What about you?
Yeah.
I mean, why else you can pull a fucking gun out with not a bullet in it?
I did see where the one guy, I guess he pulled a gun on a subway and got capped with his own gun. But he started the fight.
Yeah, I watched that shit. And people are like, stop, there's kids in here. There's just no respect for life anymore.
I wonder, what's the percentage? You might know off the top of your head. What's the percentage of people that get killed with their own guns? Like, it's a staggering number.
Oh, I'm not sure. I mean, during a fight, I could see where that'd be a staggering number, but I'm not too sure on them, but I can tell you one thing, if you're following around anything on Illinois with what they're restricting firearms now, criminals are guaranteed to have better guns than most citizens. With a higher magazine outlawed and AR-15s being outlawed in Illinois for citizens to even buy now, unless you're part of their lawsuit or what have you. But it's just crazy. Like they're expecting gangbangers from Chicago to turn in their AK-47s and ARs and drum magazines, and we just did a or not too long ago, we were part of a search warrant where we took several drum magazines out of our small town. Or guy selling crack in our small town had a drum magazine.
My last 10 years, I've really changed my thought processes on the AR-10 and AR-15. I used to always be kind of on the fence of, you know, what the hell do you need a damn machine gun for? An automatic or semi-auto? You really don't need one. But then all the bullshit with our government lately, I'm thinking, you motherfucker, you ought to buy two of them things. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really, I've really changed on that. And I saw a video yesterday. Did you see the guy in Texas that had the fucking tank, the bazooka?
Mm-mm.
There's a video floating all around. It's on Clay's page, I think. And it's a guy has a AR, or a, not an AR, he's got a damn anti-tank deal, and he's sitting on, he's got a shirt on that says the ATF sucks, and he's in Texas because it's next to two farm to market roads, and he's just sitting on the corner waving at people with his freaking tank, anti-tank gun on his deal. Or a grenade launcher or some shit. I don't know what it was, but something you'd play for in Call of Duty, it'd be a big thing to have.
I just figured everybody in Texas had a grenade launcher.
I never even seen one in person before. I don't know legally if you're allowed to even have one, but he was cat on the side of this road. Just he had a shirt on that says the ATF sucks.
Not entirely wrong.
People are tired of the government. They are absolutely fucking tired of this shit. And it's not the local police departments. But I'm telling you right now, if the FBI come in and said, I'm with the FBI, I thought, well, that's something to fucking go around bragging about.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in Illinois also enacted a, you had to register. So anybody who had an AR-15 before this ban or AR-10 or what have you, you had to register it. And they were surprised when only 3% of the FOID card, you know what, Illinois has a FOID card, fire owner's identification card. Only 3% of the FOID owners registered their guns. And I was like, well, surprising. how are you going to enforce that? Because right. I'm not going to go to somebody's door and be like, hey, we need you to register your gun.
Yeah.
Or how do you prove that? I don't see how they're too surprised with the compliance they receive. But
I'm surprised.
Yeah, it's a state police. So who knows?
Okay. A guy like me, I travel. Whenever I'm gone out of town, Andy's the same way. If we're in a vehicle, we're going to have a gun with us. Safe mm-hmm. to say, Andy?
It depends on that state's reciprocity laws. If they don't recognize they don't recognize Texas, then no, of course I follow the law.
I'm going to have a gun with me. I don't give a fuck what state I go to unless I get on a plane. If I drive somewhere, I have a gun either in my vehicle or on me at all times. When you come to Illinois and you pull a guy over from Texas and he says he's got a gun, I don't ever say nothing. If they ask me, I'd say, yeah, it's in my console. What is your first thoughts when you meet somebody that has a gun on them?
Well, like I said earlier, it's our general, I guess, safety precaution to assume everybody has a gun anyway, especially when you pull somebody over from Texas. But so I can tell you that Illinois concealed carry law is basically Illinois only respects their own concealed carry laws. However, I will say in my county, our state's attorney goes by the general practice that if they're in the vehicle and not leaving their vehicle with their guns, it's a practice that we don't, you know, take enforcement action on it. But that's just my county. Cook County, you're going to get nailed even with a gun. Even if you had a, you're just not supposed to go to Cook County, apparently, with a gun. That's why I don't go to Cook County. So, but it's been our general practice with our state's attorney's office, who is very pro-police. They're very pro-citizen, I should say. There's no enforcement action taken on it because we've run into that a couple of times where the people, I mean, unless you're like a violent felon or somebody who shouldn't have a gun anyway. But if you're a law-abiding citizen like you guys from Texas coming through and you happen to stop by our big travel mart that's about the interstate and you have a gun in your car, there's not much is going to happen. But like I said, I don't know everybody, other counties around us. But
right. Yeah. But I mean, you know, the family roadster fires up and, you know, you're going, I would always... I talked about this on a podcast before. Like I can't imagine a more helpless feeling than being away from your house, like on a road trip, and say, and the world ends. That, you know, you're in Missouri, and for whatever reason, the world decides to end, and you got to get your ass back to Texas. I could not think of a more helpless feeling than not having some of the tools required to at least help the odds of me protecting my family for however long we're going to be out there.
Have a gun and don't have flip-flops on.
Have a gun. Yeah. Always closed-toed shoes, laces, cases of water. But, you know, I mean.
It's scary.
Yeah.
Well, even, you know, I've got, as a police officer, I have a concealed carry nationwide, so I don't have to be licensed or anything like that. I've been in situations where, you know, a lot of times I just don't throw a gun on my person. Just because I'm so used to it, but also I find myself in Walmart. And I'm like, ugh.
Yeah,
you know, somebody side eyeing me. I'm like, I don't really like this, especially with my kid. Like, if I have my kids or something like that. But you know, that's something I take for granted. And hopefully, I don't get roasted for that. But because other people in Illinois, you know, it's something they worked hard towards getting a concealed carry, and they obviously use it, and they, you know, abide by the laws, or you know, they carry when they can, and. Me saying that I, you know, kind of not sloppy with it, but I don't carry it as much as I should. But
I'm big on
a situation where, like I said, I've been nervous.
I've gotten kind of sloppy with mine. Like when I first got my concealed carry license, I carried everywhere, fucking everywhere, but even places I probably shouldn't. But my thought was, you know, it what's the old saying? It's better to be judged by 12 than carried by 6.
Judged by 12 and carried by 8 or 6.
Or whatever it is. So, like, you know, whatever. Like, if I'm in Outbacks and they don't, if something breaks down and I got to pull it and they're going to take me to jail, fuck it, whatever.
The casinos I go to, every one of them's got a sign. No guns, blah, blah, blah. Well, I'm going to tell you what, 90% of the people in there are from Texas.
Right.
And I'm going to bet 10% of those people in there have got guns on them at all times.
Right. But I've noticed in the recent, you know, anytime we go to the big city, I obviously carry, but like if I'm just going a couple towns over to dinner, I'm not going to carry. But yeah, I've kind of got, but when I first got, it was on me all the time.
But because you live in a place too where someone else has got a gun everywhere we go out here.
Yeah, but yeah, I don't want to put myself in there.
And you're unlikely to be charged. You may be charged, but you're unlikely to be convicted of a jury of your peers in Texas.
Right.
Same with, you know, Southern Illinois, Central Illinois, that's the same. I mean, you may get sued, but you're going to get sued all the time anyway. It doesn't matter.
That's what they told us. They said it's in CHL class. They said if you shoot somebody, there will be a lawsuit. You're going to lose your gun. There will be a lawsuit. It's just whether you're right, wrong, or indifferent, it's going to go to trial. So just know that now.
I believe most of the police officers and the ones I've always dealt with as a judge and stuff were at the same like that. They don't have a problem with someone having the gun in the vehicle. They're happy because they know if something happens, they've got someone there that usually is going to have their back. Because all the bad people have a gun, so it's nice to run into good people that have a gun. I like, personally, as a citizen, I like the concealed carry more than I did the open carry. There is nothing it doesn't make me uncomfortable to see some knob walking around a fucking grocery store with a fucking 357 Dirty Harry gun strapped on the side of his fucking hip.
Right.
I mean, I just...
Well, yeah, because he's advertising what's going to happen if somebody messes around.
Yeah, just... I don't...
The best, you know, best advertisement to deter crime.
I like the guy that's got it concealed because you don't know.
Right.
I don't like the guy with fucking gun. I went to a car wreck one time, and I'm telling you, 8 of the volunteer firemen had guns on.
Really?
There's more fucking guns there than there was at the fucking FBI headquarters. I'm serious. I didn't know who was a policeman and a fireman. I knew every guy there.
Right.
And every fireman had a gun on. I'm like, what the fuck has happened here?
You never know when shit's going to pop off at an accident.
Car wreck. I mean, every one of them had a gun on. Now we've got open. And I guess the newness wore on because them same guys all have a gun on them.
Right.
But you don't see them all the time.
My thinking is why would you want to advertise that? Like, let's say you're checking out at your convenience store and you're open carrying and somebody decides they're going to rob the place and they've also got a gun.
Your target one.
Who are they going to go for first? They're going to get you out of the way before they go for the cashier.
Probably. But I guess on the flip side of that, you know, the guy that has a gun is probably least trained. So he sees somebody with a gun. He's like, ooh, that guy actually probably knows what he's doing.
Right. Yeah. It could be a deterrent too, though.
I love watching these thugs pull these guns. They want to shoot them sideways always. It just, the gangbanger mindset just absolutely wears me out.
Now, where you are, do you see spillover from the Chicago crime, or are y'all far enough removed that you don't really see a lot of the gang violence coming into your community?
Gang violence, I mean, there's rumored like stash houses in the area, say, for instance, for gang members. But the majority of the violence, I guess, the gang violence that we would see would be in form of, like, their financing. So they send people down here to knock off our Walmart and they'll go in there and steal 5 TVs and run out the door with it and run in a rental car.
Right.
And then they'll just flee the police because, and even here, we don't pursue that anymore for a retail theft. Really without exigent circumstances, I should say. But, I would say a year ago we had a lady go in there and steal a bunch of stuff and she put it in her car and then hit it at the AutoZone across the road. So I find her, she backs up and just takes off. So I have a small pursuit with it. But I mean, we knew where the rental car come from and idea who it possibly was, but that never comes into fruition. I mean, they don't come back or anything. Even if we were to arrest them, they'd leave and never come back type of stuff. So, so in the form of like them trying to gain financially through like retail thefts and everything like that, that's what we see mainly. But as far as like gang wars, no, we don't see any of that, luckily.
Right.
But we're, like I said, we're right on know, 55 or between 55 and 57, which I don't know where 55 spills out for you guys. Interstate 55. That's my way to your.
We have 35. Yeah. 35 comes to us. So
what happened to Chicago? Chicago was a Italian mob town forever. You know, Al Capone and all them. That was their town. They did all that and they kept it under control through the mob. Now we've just went to the Mexican cartel, drug cartels, the black street gangs. Mm-hmm. And I don't see anything changing in Chicago for the good anytime soon.
No, and they're even their newly elected mayor, you know, it's this migrant crisis is a problem of the Republicans of Illinois or the right, you know, right wing extremists. So yeah, nothing's going to change. You know, they're still a sanctuary city and all this pushback here from Chicago too about, you know, denying buses or all these buses are coming in. They never really outlawed that. They put an ordinance in that you have to check in first. So now they have these certain hours that buses are supposed to show up. So when all these buses are dropped, and we talked about this a little bit at Turkey, you know, they'll stop and fuel up locally, maybe not so much in Pontiac, but we've had reports of migrant buses heading north, but they'll stop. Everybody uses the restroom and they continue on northbound. Which is, like I told Jeff, I think that's kind of hilarious. Everybody ignored Texas's, you know, pleads for assistance on the border. And now everybody gets it. They're like, whoa, we need to do something about this.
Yeah. Don't come to our community.
It has become a national crisis that's been going on down here forever. I mean, not forever. The border has been a problem my whole life, except it wasn't a problem because the people coming over the whole time I was growing up were migrant families. We live in a town that used to farm watermelons here, seedless watermelons. Mm-hmm. And every summer we would have 1,000.
Our population would double almost.
Would double in the summertime in June, July, or late May, June, and July, basically June and July for 2 months. Our whole population would double. We'd have 1,000 migrant workers in our town. You know how much our crime went up? Very little.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have none at all. But you know how much our tax sales increased, sales tax and stuff? Those people came here to work. They weren't coming up here to sling drugs. They weren't coming up here to do. They wanted to come over here and work, and they would go to the grocery store, had a Western Union, and on payday, that thing was a line of people going in there to send money back to Mexico to their families. Oh, yeah. They would leave here, and they would go to Plains, Texas, out by Lubbock, and they'd pick watermelons there for a month or so, 6 weeks. They would start out somewhere in the valley. So those people would be gone for 6 months. Then in November, December, January, February, and most of March, they would go back to Mexico and live. They might be 800 miles in Mexico. Those people weren't doing nothing but trying to work. That was it. The hardest part was the farmers hiring them without the Border Patrol coming and taking them back. They just ground them up and take them back. When I was a kid, we would go to the border, and we'd go to South Padre every year. We'd go across. I remember as a little kid going to Madame Morris in Reynosa with my dad and grandma and buying stupid shit, you know. But it was cheaper, so people would go there. Then when I got older, 30 years ago, we would go to Mexico and go fishing on the Texas coast. We'd go to Mexico and eat dinner every night. Me, Michelle, and the boys went across to Mexico and ate dinner at a steakhouse one night. It was safe. It's not Mexico now. The cartels have ruined it. And all those bad people that are coming across now, they're not families. The federal government wants to make you think that it's just poor families that's coming over here to work. That's not who's coming over. They're bad people. So those people they're sending to Chicago, I bet you those buses are 90% males, aren't they?
Well, yeah, and I have a good friend who's a conservation police officer here in Illinois. And they're flying into O'Hare, which is one of Chicago's airports. They flew into O'Hare and they said they had a bunch of migrants getting off the plane, and every one of them was 20-year-old males with a backpack on. That's all they had.
Oof. Yeah, I mean that's just a recipe. Like,
these aren't families that we want. These are young males that are probably gonna, you know, the gang violence here in the next 10 years is gonna be astronomical, I assume.
And it's already horrible. And
similar with our area, we had a bunch of migrant workers. There's a lot of turkey farms around here, hog farms, dairy farms, and then we had detasseling corn is a big migrant business, or at least it was. One of the small hotels in town would house all these migrants and never had a problem with them. They'd rent out all, 50 rooms or whatever. The worst you'd ever have from this little hotel is maybe a heated soccer match out in the parking lot, because that's all they do. They get off work, go out and play soccer, they grill out, and there's always one manager that if he did have a problem there, you talk to that manager and he regulated it. He took care of everything, and he basically, they police their own, because like you said, they're up here making money for their families. And now you don't see that. Like, that work went to California. And everybody that's around here, migrant wise, I guess it would be, you know, maybe flooding out of the city, from these buses. But like I said, we haven't had much of a problem with that yet in our jurisdiction. However, it's coming, I'm sure.
Do you think a long time ago in Chicago that the mob kind of helped? this is going to kind of sound stupid. Do you think that it helped?
Duck hunter, so.
Do you think that it helped with some of these pettier crimes from other, like the black community and the Latino community, and the fact that they just didn't let that shit happen when they were running the city?
Yeah, I would say they policed with crime. Or right. Like crime police, crime right. type stuff.
Yeah, like they didn't, you know, like, no, you're not going to do that shit here. It's bad for business, so take it elsewhere. Don't
just
do that shit.
You just came from a perfect example of that. We just came from Isla Mujeres, Mexico, a little island. There's no crime on mm-hmm. that island. But I promise you, the cartel's got a thumb on that whole thing.
Right.
And they're getting a percentage of every business in there. I'll bet you if you could talk to them restaurant owners, they're saying we pay 10% to the cartel, but they don't mess with us at all.
Right.
Because they patrol.
Where the cartel owns that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they control it because they don't want to lose their tourism dollars. I was in Puerto Vallarta a couple of years ago, and a guy told us me and Michelle hired a guide that took us all over town and drove everywhere, and he spoke perfect English and said he'd lived in America. And he told us, I said, is the cartel bad? He said, no, they're not bad, but he said, they control everything. Mm-hmm. He said, don't think that you're in a place that there's not a cartel here, because they're everywhere.
Right.
He said, they're involved in every business in town, or they're getting a cutback off every business. He said, but they have a rule. You do not mess with the tourism. Mm-hmm. You don't mess with the tourists. He said, you can walk down that street right there in the middle of the night and you're fine. Because if somebody messes with you, they're going to have to answer to somebody they don't want to answer to.
Right.
And he goes, it keeps everybody coming here. Acapulco right now, you can't even go to Acapulco. I looked the other day. I just was curious about the flights to Acapulco, because the cartels ruined that place.
Right.
They learned their lesson at Acapulco, I guess.
Well, it's the crimes in Mexico. There's two cartels that are fighting each other right now.
I think there's more. There's two main.
But there's
ones.
A territory battle going on.
The Sinaloa and
one of them does not abide by the same thinking of tourism is good for us.
Yeah, they're the like, ones they that are starting to get involved in Cancun more, I think.
But Capone, like, he doesn't want any more police presence than what's absolutely necessary. And if they're off causing ruckus, and now we got cops on every street corner, well, that's not good for Capone's business.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, you also had, like you said, you had police actually policing in Chicago,
right,
which is now not the case. And then you also had the Italian mob also policing or protecting their business. You know, when somebody pays 10% for Al Capone to protect their business, that means the little guy who's not going to steal from that business, because he knows what, you know, he'd rather go to the jail probably for the police and deal with Al Capone or getting shot, I would assume. But now it's just up there, there's no recourse or there's no consequences. Like, I don't know what you'd actually have to do in Cook County or Chicago to actually go to jail. Like, I don't think that's a practice up there. I think most everything is a write you a ticket and walk away. Like, even serious things.
Right.
So Illinois, obviously with our Department of Corrections, we have like a universal or a prison system, I guess. So if you get sentenced in Cook County, you may end up in Pontiac, which there's a high or maximum security prison in Pontiac. But you look at the range of offenses. Say, for instance, Chicago, you kill somebody, they may give you 10 years in prison. If you do that in my county, it's probably going to be 45 years in prison.
Right.
So there's a pretty big difference in sentencing between counties, and, you know, they, especially if it's gang related, you know, if they go to prison for 5 years, what's that off their back? They're still making money.
Is that how it is here in Texas? Like,
no.
Like, if I killed somebody in Knox County, if I killed
Well, there's
like,
going to be more liberal places than there are other. In Austin, you're going to get a lighter sentence than you are out here.
But that's what I was thinking. Like, whenever he was saying, like, if somebody from Chicago comes to his town and knocks over a convenience store and they arrest them,
they're going to pay a lot higher, stiffer crime than they are in Chicago.
But like he said, they just go back to Chicago and never come back for their court date, right? Like, they never get sentenced.
Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah. But if they got a warrant, they've got a warrant.
But it would be the same here in Texas. If I went to San Angelo and knocked over a Walmart and they arrested me, and I bonded out, and I came back to Knox City and never went back to San Angelo.
We're going to pick your ass and send you back to San Angelo.
They will.
Fuck, if
I get arrested again?
Yeah. Hell yeah. Texas is different, though.
But that's what I'm asking, though.
Yes, but what he's
like
saying...
in Chicago, they're never going to arrest you anyway. So, like...
Maybe not. And that's another thing, too, is with this cashless bond or cashless bail, the safety act that we have now. Now, even to detain somebody, say if I arrest somebody on a warrant, that may not be detainable because you can't use the fact that they missed court date as a sign that they're going to flee and not go to court. They said that having a warrant for missing a court date is not proof that they're not going to comply.
Boy, some dumb fucks making rules. But
oh, it's horrible. When
all this shit with Chicago first came out, it had to have been 15 years ago when I really started paying attention to it. There's a website on the internet. I'm going to give a free plug to these guys. Heyjackass.com. And it's the Chicago, it's the Chicago crime stats. Mm-hmm. And they've got up to date of how many people have been murdered in 2024 there. They do it by month, by week. They have weekend tallies, weekend shooting sprees. The sad thing is when you look at that, there'll be 1,000 murders in Chicago this year, give or take a little bit, but it's going to be somewhere close to 1,000 murders in the city of Chicago in 2024. There'll be 1,000 murders. Out of them 1,000 murders, maybe 70 people will be arrested for murder.
Oh, if that, and
yeah,
that's the murders they probably count.
Right.
Not counting the dead prostitute on the railroad tracks they found. Nobody care, they're not counting that.
And the thing that's crazy about that, I'm fixing to look up their statistics, is that how many people, there'll be double and triple murders. Quadruple murders, or shootings, not murders. And what gets me is how fucking terrible a shot these gangbangers are.
Well, they're mostly juveniles. They're mostly, like, under 18.
Yeah.
Right now.
So not only is there no consequence for adults up there, what are they going to do with a juvenile?
Right.
See, this week alone in Chicago, just Monday through Thursday, this is Friday morning, there's been 33 shots and 33 people shot and 11 homicides.
So they're a third.
A third.
They're about like baseball.
Year to date now, there's been 416 people shot and 93 homicides so far. Now, it's cold. Them numbers skyrocket when it gets hot. I mean, they've been January and February are cold. Yes. Holiday weekends are amazing. But someone is shot this year right now, every 4 hours, someone is shot in Chicago and someone's murdered every 19 hours.
There used to be an app on your phone where you can download scanners. You could scan like Chicago Police Department. I downloaded it. Oh, it was years ago when I actually cared about Chicago, but I downloaded it a while ago and listened to it. And it's armed robbery, burglary, armed robbery, sex assault complaint. And they're just in there. I don't know how many dispatch centers they have, or I don't know how many units they run with per night, but it's, I mean, they can't, they can't effectively handle all those calls.
Yeah. I used to listen to it all the time, and I love the South Side of Chicago. And it'd be like a lady's been tied up in a bathtub and beaten with a bat. And then the next call would be someone has been set on fire in the backyard. And then there'll be a call. Someone's got a cat stuck in a tree. I'm like, what the fuck? That cat's going to be there forever. Is that right? But they never have enough police officers. And then they come back. We've still got that armed robbery in progress on State Street. Well, yeah, it's been there an hour ago. I hope they're not there still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can imagine
the increase that's going to happen with all these migrants going up there too, because the only thing it hurts, I guess, are the victims. You're never going to hear from the migrants. Mm-hmm. All you're going to do is hear from the victims that are now have to take into account being victimized by not only gangs, but now they're going to be victimized by young male migrants.
We can fix this, but Andy disagrees with this, or he did before, because we had this argument during the COVID deal. I said when we went through all that Black Lives Matter bullshit, which has turned out to be all bullshit, and we know that now, and all this other crap, we should take the National Guard or the Army and put them on the fucking streets of all these towns. All these inner cities are having problems because the people that live in those neighborhoods that are truly victims, and that's the people that are stuck there. When I fly into Chicago, I had a buddy of mine whose mom and dad live in Schiller Park. Nice, quiet little neighborhood that I'm probably sure is ravaged with crime now. Yeah. And all I can think about is those nice little people that live there, the Polish immigrants have lived there forever. They would love to have armed army guys walking down the street with shot machine guns. They would. They would absolutely be able to sleep at night knowing that. And I think that's one of the answers. Bring our fucking all our troops back from everywhere else, put them on the border, and put them in every one of these big cities that's crime-ridden, and let them fix this thing.
But I don't think that the politicians there really want to fix these things.
No, the politicians don't, but the people that live in the street. You find that little black, that little in the neighborhood, the black neighborhood, and you find that little black lady and husband who worked, and he was a postal worker, and she worked or was just a house mom, worked there the whole lives, and they're stuck in a house that the value is going down because they live in the ghetto and it's gotten shitty. Those people right there would give anything to have some law and order in their neighborhood. They want the same neighborhood that they, when they got married, they lived in. The black neighborhood was just as vibrant as the white neighborhood was until they put in all the welfare shit. And I feel so sorry for those people.
Yeah, and it's only going to get worse. So there's a new bill, or I guess an attempt of a bill from Republican Slaughter, and he is a part of the Illinois Black Caucus or Legislative Black Caucus, and he's from, you know, Southside. They gerrymander it all up, so his district is all messed up to obviously benefit them. But in this new bill would be pretextual stops, basically outlawing police from pulling over somebody for expired registration, turn signal, headlights, brake lights. Basically, making it illegal unless it's a misdemeanor. Like somehow you magically know that they're a misdemeanor or a felon or they're in possession of a firearm before you pull over. But he doesn't take into account how many, say for instance, how much gun crime comes from an expired registration stop where all of a sudden the officer, you know, goes in there. And that's just going to be another issue from the, you know, issue in the community that little black grandma that just got carjacked can't stop the car.
Right.
And, you know, figure out what's going on. Can't figure out, like, maybe she's on the street dying somewhere because somebody just carjacked her. I mean, this is the same guy, too, that was responsible for the Safety Act along with the other ones and all this stuff. But I guess the point of my story would be there's going to be no way to police crime in the area. Mm-hmm. Like, how are you going to go in there and police anything? They don't allow you to pursue the cars in Chicago. You can't. You know, even if the Chicago Police Department, somebody takes off running for them, they're not supposed to chase after them. Like, there's no consequences
anymore. And we're learning. We all, anybody with any common sense knew this wasn't a bad deal. This is like letting the little shitty kid that's 5 years old in pre-K run the class. You know, you're just going to get it worse and worse and worse as he gets older. This stuff ain't working. And now these young kids are learning that they can get by with everything. We have got to take control of these areas and these neighborhoods and get these kids under control because it's going to get worse and worse and worse. And as time shows us, Portland's a perfect example. It don't work. You have to have law and order. Or 20 years from now, all these big cities are going to be shells. There's going to be nothing inside. When you see them old movies like New Jack City or whatever it was back in the day, and it showed these crime areas where the cops didn't go no more, that's what you're going to have in all these neighborhoods. Nobody's going to want to be there. I don't blame these businesses for pulling out.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. Like, Target, during all these riots, Target was like, well, we have insurance. We can replace the stuff. They're, you know, they've been oppressed. And now they're closing Targets because they're tired of getting stuff stolen from them. You started it. You just said it was okay to steal from us.
Right, yeah. Well, we got insurance. Take what you need.
That floors me more than anything when you see some. I'm on a Facebook page in Dallas called Smash the Topic. And they have all kinds of shit going on. And the comments under there will be, it's okay. Why, you don't have to mess with the guy. You know, they're insured. Why the fuck do you think your insurance on your home's doubled in the last year? Them same insurance companies are paying out the ass for Target. Has your homeowners went up?
Yeah.
My homeowners went, my business insurance went up almost 40%, zero claims. My homeowners at my house went up about 60%, zero claims. I haven't had a claim in 10 years on anything. All of it went up. My credit score went up. My insurance went up. You're supposed to get a higher credit score. You're supposed to get cheaper insurance. It didn't happen for me.
If you could rewind the clock, would you go back and be a police officer?
Yeah, and I shouldn't say this is all a doom scenario. It's not like doom and gloom here. Right. I like being a cop. The people I work with like being police officers. And it's honestly, my community respects us. My community, you know, is very pro-police. Now, we deal with 2% of the population, say. Of those 2%, less than, say, a half a percent, less than half a percent are actually shitty people.
Right.
Or at least treat us like shit, say, for instance. Majority of those people, like you said, people that actually need help from the police and respect it, and even the minority communities, you know, Hispanic, Black, not very much Asian around here. However, like, I can't tell you, I mean, I can tell you who the troublemakers are of all race and religion. But I can't tell you, like, if you said how many black families are in my jurisdiction, I don't know, because we don't deal with them. They right. wave when they drive by us, they wave to us, and that's it.
Not
but then you get all these people coming in saying, you know, Black Lives Matter and all this stuff, because we're next to a bigger jurisdiction or bigger area that's a say above 70,000 people. We're well below that. They have these issues. However, they're in the same boat, though. Like, they have a lot of pro-police on all ends of the spectrum. You're only hearing from the half of the half a percent that say, you know, they're being victimized by the police, which just isn't the case.
Right.
Racial profiling, Knox City, Texas. If you're Chinese, it's the worst place you can be in the United States.
Right.
We had 100% racial profiling on Chinese my last year as being a judge.
Because we had one Chinese person.
One Chinese guy got pulled over and got a ticket. That's it. We only pulled over one Chinese guy all year long, yeah. And fucking cop had to write him a freaking ticket. So we were 100% profiling on racial, on Asian people or whatever you were allowed to say. I saw that report, yeah. And I go, how many Chinese people we pulled over? One. We wrote one of them a ticket. Well, he was going 81 and a 35. It's not like you can get him a warning for that. But...
Yeah, do you guys have racial profiling cards the officers have to fill out down there? Do you know?
No, we had a report we got to follow up on, or had to report, and that's how I knew that.
Okay.
I don't...
So on the back of our tickets and warnings, there's basically, we say write the ticket, write the warning. On the back of our copy of it, you have to fill out date and time, where it happened at, what was it? It was a moving violation, equipment, the race of the person, how long the stop was, did you run a dog, did you find any drugs? They're just check boxes, so it takes real quick. But, you know, it's, say, for instance, I'm on a stop for 45 minutes because I run my dog, or when I had a dog, run the dog, and it's a longer stop. Well, yeah, it's going to show a longer stop than the, you know, pulling grandma over for blowing a stop sign that took 12 minutes.
Yeah.
You know? But that's all collected and kept somewhere. I don't know where.
It's to build a case, so somewhere down the road, the wrong person gets pulled over with the right attorney, and they can try to make a case out of something that has absolutely nothing to do with anything. That law book mm-hmm. that the state of Texas gives every judge, and I had one on my desk, and I have one around here somewhere still, too, I think. There is nothing in there about color. Everything's in black and white. The pages are white, the print's in black, and you read it all. And that's the law. And that's what mm-hmm. our country was built on, was that foundation. And we've gotten away from that because we want to make all these silly other excuses for people. If you teach your children to be compliant with police officers, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, and do what they try to tell you to do, they're going to go home safe every night. Or they'll go to jail for doing something stupid if they did something. Then they're going to go to court, and they're going to have the juries tend to go for the people anyways. You got a better chance of winning than losing unless you're guilty. If you didn't do nothing wrong, you're going to get out 99.9% of the time. I mean, that's just the bottom line to the deal. Let the judge decide it. Tell your kid to be respectful. Tell him to put that fucking phone down. Quit trying to film everything like he's going to be on TV. Just do what you're supposed to do, and it'll happen. Every shooting that you see on TV, whether it's a bad, good, or anything, all comes to one thing. People weren't compliant with a police officer. If a guy's got a gun on me and he tells me to do something, I'm going to do what he tells me to do. Real
Absolutely.
Simple.
They come down to our jurisdiction and they're surprised when all of a sudden they're in the back of the car handcuffed. They're like, oh, sorry. I'm like, this wouldn't happen had you just complied. You'd be on your way. They're like, I know. But they were surprised how we took action on it. Whereas up north, they didn't receive such treatment. Now, those same people, you know, just videotape you. Once you're like, well, I have a body camera, that's fine. And I have a squad car camera, that's fine. They usually stop recording, which I don't care. Record all you want, but you're still going to have to listen.
Right.
Like, put the phone up on the dash and record me that way, and then give me your stuff like I'm asking you to. But, you know, as part of that safety act, it required all police departments in Illinois to have body cameras by 2025, I think. We got ours last year, which I love them.
Yeah.
You know, they the other side of this argument thought that this would somehow reveal a rampant police misconduct, and that just isn't the case. Their arrests haven't gone down. The use of force hasn't gone down. It's just that they see it's all justified. So where's all the misconduct that the body cameras are supposed to reveal? It doesn't happen.
Yeah.
So that's whose side's correct here?
That's why they took live PD off the air on for a long time, because it wasn't mm-hmm. showing the cops to be bad guys. It was like, oh, people were sympathetic to police officers because, oh my God, he just had to deal with an incest case or a rape case or pulled somebody out of a burning building or whatever it is. Oh, he's not just racial and going around beating people up using the N-word. Mm-hmm. You know, they didn't show that shit. I was racially profiled one time in my lifetime. I wasn't. I gave three black kids a ride home from football practice in the mid-80s, and we got pulled over in downtown Wichita Falls, going back to where they lived at. And we all got drug out of the car, and we put our hands on the hood. Now, I've been pulled over a dozen times with my buddies drinking beer riding around in high school, and all we did was pour beer out, and that was the end of it. But I had three black kids with me, and they made us do that shit. And then when he got to my driver's license, he's like, oh, I know your dad's a fireman, and he let us go. And that was the first time that I really thought, you know, that was bullshit what we did. Those kids, we didn't do nothing wrong. Mm-hmm. I wasn't even speeding.
Well, obviously you did something wrong. He wouldn't have pulled you over.
No, he didn't. He pulled me over for no reason. He gave me a ticket. There was no reason to pull me over.
It was horseshit. No, I'm saying it's horseshit. No, you did something wrong.
No, I've been pulled over a lot of times when I did shit wrong.
Cops just don't do that.
But Jeff. Yeah, they did too. But I'm telling you, it was in the mid 80s. But it was because I had three black guys with me. I know damn well that's what it was about. Oh, and I knew that.
You're just being paranoid.
And I had to listen to them say it all the way, taking them home. And I thought,
we live with this.
You know, I said, I can't argue that, you know?
Well, and I'm not here to argue that there's not racism.
Yeah, right. It is.
There's going to be shitty cops somewhere. And that's something we have to delve out, or that's something we have to police our own, which. I feel as if we do a pretty good job. Like, I don't want to be associated with a racist asshole.
Yeah. You know?
But my nephew's black. Even though if I say that turns me into even more of a racist.
Right.
I think I'm using my nephew's color as some sort of badge of honor.
Right.
Somehow I'm still a racist. One guy specifically told me, well, tell your nephew his uncle's a racist asshole. I'm like, okay, so I did.
I'll let him know that tomorrow.
Yeah.
The hardest job in the world right now to me is a black police officer. I feel sorry for the black cops because they catch more shit, boy. Whew.
Well, yeah. And if there's some out there that wants to work in Central Illinois, bring to them. We'd love to have them, because when somebody calls me a racist, like, all right, deal with him then. And he's probably going to come down on you harder because you're, you know.
Yeah.
Call him Uncle Tom one more time, motherfucker. Go ahead, call it to him one more time.
I gotta imagine that, like, New York City, L.A., Chicago, these places have got to be hard pressed to find anybody filling out the job application to be a cop anymore, don't they?
You'd think. So even our list in Central Illinois, we have zero people on our hiring list right now, and we have a vacancy. We're renegotiating our contract now, so we're hopefully going to get a giant pay bump to attract some people, but. Somehow Chicago still finds people to work there. However, you can't just hire somebody to be a cop.
Right.
They have to be trainable. They have to be able to, you know, they have to have cognitive ability to be a police officer. And that may be shown in that article we talked about at Turkey for a brief second. I think it just came out, or that video of the acorn falling on the police
officer. Yeah.
Or something like that. I actually watched that a little bit last night. And I mean, sometimes it boils down to the people who aren't taking in the training. I don't know if that's the case that way. I'm not Bundy Morgan quarterbacking anybody, but I don't know. I've heard shit hit my truck and not ever think it was a gunshot, especially acorn or whatever it is. But that boils down to, you know, the ability to train people, and we're just less, you know, we're getting less qualified applicants, and that just leads to, you know, poorer decision making. Now, that video is actually in Florida, which Florida is usually a pretty good spot to be a cop, from what I always thought. Maybe I'm incorrect. There's a Florida cop listening. You know, I'd be interested in knowing that. But here in Chicago, like, you think a bigger department, better training. That's not the case at all. Your smaller departments, I'm sure you guys are in West Texas, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm sure those little departments in West Texas are probably far better trained than what you'll find in Dallas and all that stuff, because, you know, their budget includes training that they actually use.
Right.
Like, a bigger department, it may not be the case. Like, usually your guys on patrol who are frontline at all this dangerous events, your frontline guys are the least, you know, they're under 3 years, because everybody else promotes out, or, you know, like, say the guy in Dallas is at a task force now that he's completely undercover. Like, you want your more experienced guys, like you have in smaller departments, like, actually handling these issues. So,
well, and two, I wonder if these small town cops know that if they don't handle it, backup is not going to be here in any timely manner. Like, you're going to be one for one for 30 minutes. So either you get it figured out or you're fucked.
We don't
have ain't around the corner.
We don't have much backup out here. Our problem is small towns are going broke. They don't have the budgets for a police officer. Matter of fact, we got a town 12 miles away from here that don't have a cop. Mm-hmm. They've got two brand new police trucks sitting outside, and they've been sitting for 3 months. They can't hire.
How big is that?
The town's 1,200 people. They can't hire no one. They cannot. Now, in the time I'm saying this, I'm sure they'll probably have hired one today, but they haven't got anybody hired as of today that I know of. The problem is, is that in small towns, we are losing our sales tax because sales are going up because we're the population's declining. The only thing, the way these little small towns make money is by selling water and sewer. That's where small towns make any kind of money they make. The price for water and sewer has been set for a year, and it doesn't go up like everything else has. But all the city's costs are going up. Everything, electricity, everything we do has gone up. So we're losing more money on that end, too. It's just a bad recipe, and small towns are losing their police officers in West Texas. Because if we got a good young small cop in our little town here, and a police officer time, you get his package for his retirement and hospital and everything, we're spending $60,000 on one police officer in a small town. People are like, well, that's not much money. It's not, because he can go to work in the Metroplex in one of them small outlying towns right outside of Dallas-Fort Worth, and they're going to start him at $80,000 to $85,000 a year.
Oh, yeah. When this Safety X stuff started, Texas, is it Highway Patrol, State Police, or whatever you guys have down there, sent out basically mass communication to Illinois State Police officers, like whether it be with the state or counties or something like that, saying, hey, we'll bring you on with 5 years of service, and this is your retirement package if you want to flee Illinois and come down there. And I'm sure they got taken up on that a lot. Mm-hmm. Same with Gulf Shores are like, hey, I appreciate, or sent the governor a message saying that they appreciate it because they have a ton of applicants now because everybody's fleeing Illinois because they don't want to be a cop here. I was, at the time, I had 10 years on, so I was kind of like, well, I can do it for 10 more years and retire and do something else. Or I can leave and go somewhere else, which, I mean, Illinois pays their police officers pretty well, but then again, they step on them a lot. I mean,
right.
They handcuff them a lot. So, I don't know. It's kind of a, I don't know. It's a hard decision to make.
We rode family. Our Uber driver in Nashville.
Picked us up from the airport.
Really nice guy. Was a police officer in Maine. He hit his 20-year mark where he could retire early. His son was in the Army in Nashville, yeah. Wedding. Him and his wife moved from Maine, which I would not suggest anybody move from Maine. But he left Maine and went to Nashville and works at one of the Franklin or one of the towns right outside of Nashville. Mm-hmm. Makes a lot more than he was making in Maine and still has his retirement from Maine. But he went there because they were police friendly. They respected their police officers. They weren't a burden to the city like they acted like they were in Maine in some places. I know the city of Austin, Texas, I think is 600 police officers short right now.
I bet.
And they have a contract in their contract. The Austin Police Union has a contract that they have to be one of the top two highest paid police departments in the state of Texas. And that was 10 or 15 years ago, and it kept bumping up. They can't keep nobody hired though, because it's Austin's turning into San Francisco.
Yeah, and I have family in Austin, actually, and they love it. But, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, it's on the liberal-ish.
No, not liberal-ish. It's fucking liberal.
It's mini Portland.
It's horrible.
Yeah. But we talked about it, Turkey. Like, your Texas liberal is probably a little bit different than Illinois liberal.
No, we got some real fuck-ups here.
No, but on scale, yeah, I mean, it's like an outlier. But, yeah, on scale, most of them, even though they're technically liberal, they can see the other side. I think a lot of them can.
You're getting a lot of California, aren't you?
Oof. Yeah, Austin is.
Austin, that area down there, all that Silicon Valley's moved to Texas because of the tax breaks. But, you know, in our last election, it did not show that at all. There wasn't a spike anywhere of blue. Matter of fact, the valley in Texas, all along the river and the border, they're going red. They're getting redder and redder all the time. Those people had enough of this shit. But Austin is a liberal utopia. Dallas, Austin, Houston, and Fort Worth is actually becoming very liberal on their voting. And I just fucking stupid.
We have some primaries here in Illinois coming up next week, but I can tell you that's going to be Joe Biden in the primary because Chicago, I mean, there's 4 million, 5 million people around Chicago area. So we'll see. Maybe it'll come up a little bit more even than what it was 4 years ago.
I saw yesterday where Kennedy is trending at about 15%.
Told you. My guy's making a run.
Your guy's is a fuck up.
My boy's making a run.
Your boy is a fuck up. I'm telling you right now, if you vote for Robert Kennedy, you're fucking helping Joe Biden. I'm telling you right now.
Is the news correct that he asked Aaron Rodgers to be his VP?
It's between
there's like a
Rodgers, Mike Rowe, Dirty Jobs, Mike Rowe.
He said he was at the DFW airport when he saw that. Really? He didn't even know about it. It was at DFW, walking through DFW Thursday, and someone asked him, he goes, what the fuck are you talking about?
Well, Aaron Rodgers was on an ayahuasca trip in Costa Rica when he found out about it. Listen.
The guy, you can't take the guy serious.
He's your guy, isn't he?
He's my guy. It makes a lot of sense, because he said, just listen to me. He said, I want a younger VP, because he said, we have burdened the younger group of Americans with trillions of dollars in debt. And he said, all of those decisions have been made by old men, by old people who will never be here when that bill comes due. He said, I want a younger person that has younger people's interests at heart to be my VP.
Let's say Robert Kennedy gets elected president, which he's not even going to be on New York and California's ballots, it don't look like. So he has no chance of being president. He's just going to fuck up Donald Trump's deals with this. He's going to fuck it all up. But let's say he gets in. And you know the Kennedys don't have a real good for longevity. That doesn't last.
So we got Aaron Rodgers as president.
Or he might finally get choke on whatever's caught in his throat where he can't talk. But whatever happens to Robert Jr., Kennedy Jr., don't have nothing against the guy or not. But if something happens and he has the Kennedy curse on him,
yeah.
And we got Aaron Rodgers as a fucking president. He's a great quarterback, but don't know a fucking thing about politics, right. Which I'm all for that, because the politicians we have fucked up everything anyways.
Right.
But does Donald...
Like Woodstock all over again.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But does Aaron Rodgers really have any common sense when it comes to things like that?
I have no idea.
Don't that scare you a little bit, though, to think some fucker like that? That might as well make Pauly Shore president.
Can't get any worse. it's interesting, though, that as soon as that news broke that Rodgers could be a potential VP, CNN did a hit piece on him that he is a Sandy Hook denier.
Saw that
instantly. The day that dropped, CNN had an article ready to go in the pipe that says Aaron Rodgers is a Sandy Hook denier.
If the Democratic Party would have done what they was best for the American people, they would have did a primary and they'd have let Robert Kennedy run as a Democrat, and he probably would have beat Joe Biden. I would not be uncomfortable if that whole process would have taken place. But I saw what H. Ross Perot did, and if it wasn't for H. Ross Perot, we'd have never had fucking Bill Clinton, and which means we wouldn't have had fucking Hillary Clinton.
I'm telling you what, though. Kennedy and Trump are going to debate. Kennedy's got enough to where he's going to be on the debate stage. Biden's going to be a no-show.
They don't do nothing but hurt Trump and help Biden.
But that's what I'm saying.
Kennedy
is going to demolish Donald Trump.
No, he won't.
On the vaccine. He will nail him to a cross.
He was on the vaccine board.
He will nail him to a cross. He's not the one that rubber stamped the warp speed. He will pin him on that.
That's the only thing he can talk to him about.
So it's gonna be interesting.
The gun deal.
You don't know anything about any of his gun stances.
So what are they? What are they?
I don't know.
He's your boy. You just said he's your boy. So what's his stance on guns?
He said that I am not coming after your guns.
Well, I'm telling you, they can't take your gun.
Hey,
this is the biggest part on the left. The left's big thing is to the right, they're going to take your guns. They scare everybody that you're going to lose your fucking guns. Right. They haven't taken a gun yet. And then the right does abortion. You ain't going to be able to get your baby aborted. You have no women's rights. They ain't fucking... You can go to California and get an abortion now.
Hey, so
or Illinois.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So both of them play the part. I don't want gay marriage, abortion, or guns on the ballot.
On the campaign. You don't want that to be a talking point.
Because it's irrelevant.
It does nothing.
Right.
It does nothing for our quality of living.
Who's the Texas guy that said we're going to take your AR-15s?
Beto, that counterfeit fucking Irish Mexican. He's such a dipshit.
He's falling off of everything.
Yeah, they don't want his ass no more. I hate fucking politicians, every one of them. No Patch, Dan Crenshaw down there, the pirate. Fuck him too. He's a Republican.
So back that video that we saw where the cop unloaded his weapon into the vehicle. What's going to be protocol, you think? Like, is he going to just get canned outright, or is there going to be some psych eval?
It sounded like he resigned.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, and I was reading it, and it sounds like no charges filed. So, watching the video, I think he legitimately was scared.
Sure.
He's screaming, he's dumping shots into his own squad car. But they even said that he was justified in doing that because he legitimately feared for his own safety. Like I said, I'm not Monday morning quarterbacking, but like wasn't he in handcuffs since you searched him, putting him in the car?
Right. Yeah. Guys in handcuffs in your squad car. The person I feel bad for This just goes back to what Jeff was saying. Like, I can't believe there's so many shootings and so little homicides. There were two magazines. He emptied a magazine and his partner emptied her magazine into that squad car. Nobody got hurt.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's absolutely.
He's still going to sue him for, you know, violating his civil rights.
For shitting all over himself.
Yeah.
Just because you use deadly force on him, just because you're super inaccurate in doing so, doesn't make it any less of a, you know, offense, I would think.
Can you imagine when it went up to the car?
I didn't see that.
Are you hit? Are you hit? Nah, dude, I'm good. I'm good. Can you just take me to jail, please?
Let me see your hands, motherfucker. They're behind my back.
Poor guy.
They're in handcuffs.
There's a reason why he's in a squad car.
Right.
But could you imagine him?
Where are you going to go? The back of those squad cars, like, there's barely room for a person back there. Like, yeah, you're not wiggling around.
That just floors me. But it just takes one bad cop to ruin it for a million cops.
Yep.
You know, even back to the George Floyd deal. George Floyd died of a fentanyl overdose. We all know that now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But that cop was stupid as shit to do what he did for that long. That was just dumb. I mean, it was idiotic. And there's so many cases that you see cops. I saw where a kid got shot in a hotel floor. He was laying on the fucking ground and some rookie cop unloaded and killed him and stuff.
I remember seeing that.
That's horrible. It's not a good deal. But they don't understand, Joe Public, what a tough job you guys have. I think being a police officer would be fun because I like to jack with people. That fucking asshole, pull him over. You know, I did. But the bottom line is 90% of the shit you see during the day is people lying to you. Do you get lied to every day?
Yes.
Every fucking day.
Absolutely.
Yeah. How many times a day do you see something that would make most people's stomach turn? Once a day?
Oh, maybe not even that. I mean, but then again, anymore, like doing it for 14 years, and that may not be a long time, but anymore now, it's just. Like, usually if I come home and after seeing something I don't like, my wife is, she's blind to it because I just don't talk about it when I get home.
Right.
I talk, what cops do, they get together and talk about it together, right?
Yeah.
So anymore, stomach turning, like dead bodies don't bother me at all. Crying kids, obviously any cop has a soft spot for crying kids. But I would say weekly something is, you know, all cops deal with something disturbing that they don't like. Even so, and a lot of it's just neighbor, like say for instance, going to neighbors yelling at each other. It's like, why don't you guys just both shut up? It's like, well, he said the F word to me. I'm like, okay, well, it's freedom of speech. You can. He called me a pedophile. I was like, well, you are a pedophile.
You're on the list.
You are a registered sex offender. So I don't know what you're complaining about.
This seems like an actual case.
Back to the George Floyd thing. It's like, okay, he didn't die of being suffocated, right?
Right.
But if somebody's yelling out in public and there's a crowd of people around me, if somebody's yelling out, I can't breathe, while he's handcuffed, I'm probably going to sit him up and be like, you need anything? Do you need some water? Because I want him to be able to breathe, right?
Right.
So there's four cops. Not one of them made the decision. It's like, hey, even though he's probably lying to us, let's make sure he can breathe.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So the they allowed the perception, I guess, to be true. Like everybody's perception is like they're choking him. Well, they didn't do anything to prevent it. So who's to say, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, magically, there's two different autopsies. One said that fentanyl, and the other one said he was choked.
Mm.
See,
is Chauvin still alive? I know they they stabbed him like 20 times or something like that.
Yeah, he's still alive.
Yeah, he's probably on an island with Epstein somewhere.
Could you imagine? Because they put him in, like, general population.
Yeah, and I'm sure it was done purposely.
Yep. Yeah, it's fucking death sentences.
The whole system is fucked up and rigged, and the ones that take it on the end are the police officers because they got to deal with all that shit. That stuff.
You guys have to deal with every bad idea that the Democrat or any politician has. Like, any dumb law that they enact, like, you guys are the ones that has to go enforce it, whether you agree with it or not.
You know, all the stuff, like I said, the cashless bail. They weren't doing that in Chicago and surrounding areas anyway. So why make it a state law? It worked for the downstate Illinois. It worked for southern Illinois, which maybe in southern Illinois, I go down there turkey hunting and think they handle things a little bit differently down in southern Illinois than we do up here. But you're not a subject to being a victim of a crime down there either.
Right.
That's how they handle their business. So why are you gonna make something a law that's you don't do in Chicago? Why are you gonna make everybody follow suit when Southern Illinois and Chicago have absolutely nothing in common?
Where our country is really fucked up 100% is on this shit with this law. What do they call that? Peaceful protest.
Yeah.
There are very few peaceful fucking protests. If you tear anything up, that's not a peaceful protest. They should have reined that shit in a long time ago. They let that shit go away. They let it get way out of hand. And they should have nipped it real fast. The Ferguson, Missouri shit got way out of hand. They're burning shit down and stuff. As soon as they do that shit, fucking get everybody off the fucking streets. Call in the military and get this shit cleaned up. It's ridiculous to the law-abiding citizen. I have things that piss me off. I don't go marching up and down the fucking street and burning shit up. And I get so tired of all these protests and parades that cost all this shit. The gay parade. You know what? I don't give a shit if you're gay or straight. We shouldn't have a parade because of who you sleep with.
But they don't tear anything up.
Fuck that shit. They do too, and they make a mess. And the people.
Well, they might make a mess, but they're not burning buildings down.
No, but they make a fucking mess, and we shouldn't have to do that shit.
Well, any.
Over your sexuality. I banged four chicks last week. Let's have a fucking parade, you know? Or I'm gay. Let's have a parade. Who gives a shit?
But they're not burning. They're not burning
it's
and looting.
It's a waste of fucking money. Gay parade.
Who's money?
The Million Man March. The Million Women March. The cities. They have to fucking get police force, block off shit. They got to sit and pick up crews. I saw Earth Day in one of them places that looked like goddamn Woodstock when they left. They had trash and shit everywhere.
New York City, they had their pride parade. And I think even there are some gay cops in New York City that always signed up for the overtime to work the gay parade, but they didn't like him during this George Floyd thing, so they wouldn't even let the gay cops who wanted to work their event to protect them because police are bad.
Well, the gay cops are going to pick up people.
Good place to do it, possibly.
Yeah. I'll work the gay parade and pick up a new guy.
I don't know.
It's ridiculous that we have all this shit. It costs the cities money. If you want to do something that's not a distraction, I'm fine with that shit. But they got so overboard. Then these big marches they did,
all the cops in Dallas got shot and killed. A long time.
Why? Why do you need a parade to say you're gay?
But I mean, I'm not. It's not. It's not like it's a new thing.
Okay. Well, whoever invented it, it's stupid.
Like, how long have they had the gay parade in L.A.?
Fuck, I don't know. It's California. I ain't going out there for that shit.
But that's what I'm. I mean, it's not a new thing. And
but why a parade?
Well, I mean, what else you want to do?
Stay home. Suck a dick. I don't care.
But. Don't people have a right to an assembly? And isn't that all that is?
Doesn't it say a peaceful assembly?
But if they're just walking down the street.
You got to clean up all their shit. They don't even pick up after themselves. Most gay guys organized that chaos don't pick up shit.
I'm not saying that the party is not, you know, they didn't think all that through, but you have a right to a peaceful assembly. And if you want to walk down the street, you should be able to, right?
Half naked with a G-string and shit. It's fucking stupid. I don't care if you're gay. I ain't anti-gay. I'm against anti-gay parade. I'm tired of all this shit about your sexuality. I don't want to see a fucking rainbow flag anywhere. You know, do we get a rain? Let's put a flag with a hard dick on it and shows you're straight and put it up everywhere. That's stupid, isn't it?
But you should be able to if you wanted to. And if you wanted to have a heterosexual hard dick parade, you should be able to do it.
It's stupid.
I think they had a heterosexual parade or some guy tried to organize it, and it was him and like five other guys.
Yeah, nobody fucking, yeah.
They got other shit to do.
Yeah, I got to go to work.
They got meat to go barbecue.
Yeah.
Like, I got kids. I got to work.
Yeah.
I don't have time to walk down the street and say how straight I am.
I can't do that on a Tuesday.
But I don't care who you, what you do, but I don't understand why your sexuality is something we got to embrace and go, you know, it's like it's a big fucking deal. And
I don't either, but I look at the... You have a right to assembly. You can do this.
You shouldn't have a right to fucking slow up traffic. We got enough of that shit going. Same with this Palestine, these Palestine people, you know. What's funny is at the what the hell did Biden give the other day? State of the Union address. I'm getting old. I can't remember shit. State of the Union address. A guy who's a Gold Star whose son got killed in the fuck up in Afghanistan. His dad screamed out against Biden. What'd they do? They arrested him. But the PLO people... And freaking carpet kneaders blocked traffic and shit and delayed Biden getting there. They don't arrest one of them bastards.
Right.
I'm tired of the double standard, you know?
When we were at Turkey, downtown Nashville, it was Sunday afternoon maybe. We were in one of the bars and there's some Israel flags walking down the strip. I was like, I might go watch this. But then I decided, I'm like, actually, no, I'm not going to do that. But I don't. So what supporting Israel is wrong or right. Supporting Ukraine is wrong or right. Like, some people are like, support Israel, not Ukraine. Support Ukraine, not Israel. Like, what's the benefit to either?
Right.
What's the benefit of supporting either?
Yeah.
I support Israel to a degree, but I'm sick and tired of sending my money to protect themselves. Let them do it. Let them do what the fuck they want to do. I promise you, if you let Israel just do what you want, leave them alone, they'll take care of their own shit. Fucking the state of Israel will be about 10 times bigger in about 2 weeks if you just let them take care of it and do it their own way. Leave them alone. Ukraine, I don't give two fucks what happens with Ukraine. I know that sounds absolutely horrible, but I don't. I'm sick and tired of sending all my fucking money. I want to claim them on my taxes and get a $21,000 refund. I saw one guy put down. He was going to claim 3,000 Israelis, Ukrainians. I'm sick of my money going over there just to make somebody else rich. We got our own battles here.
Our tax money going over there when, say, just the other day I had to respond to a domestic where a mom and two kids are living in a one-bedroom hotel room in a small jurisdiction, but we can fund billions of dollars and weapons over there, and we can't. There's, legitimately, I don't think she was, it's not like she was, taking advantage of the system by any means. She just happened to be down on her luck, and that's how she's forced to live, as opposed to all, like you said, all our tax money going to other things. It floors me.
I saw a deal yesterday that said our own government gives us a qualifying credit score, but we're $65 trillion in debt.
Right.
That's a bull crap. I'll tell you what, I got a solution to it all. You want to do all your gay parades, go to Ukraine and fucking parade all you want to. Or no better than that, go to Saudi Arabia and do that shit and see how long you last. You wouldn't be blocking traffic over there, I promise you.
No. Anywhere but here.
Yeah, but all that stuff, the BLM, the gay parade, straight parade, all that crap costs the taxpayers money, and it blocks up traffic and shit. I just don't have time for it anymore.
I saw, hang on a second, and I'll see if I can find it. Back to your point, that's got to be the heartbreaking thing is whenever you see a family that's trying to do right and they're just down on their luck for whatever reason. Like going to that hotel and seeing the mom and the two kids, just like, fuck. Just got to rip your heart out.
Yeah, lives in, like, squalor and just, diapers full. Just, I mean, it's difficult, especially when the hard part is when one of them looks like one of your kids.
Right.
And that's when you start, getting pretty upset and coming home and having a few Bush lights after work. And
It's awful. Awful.
Having said that, to younger guys, it's a little bit more detrimental than what it is to, the 10 years plus. And they always say, if you make it past year 5 or 6 or whatever, maybe even year 7, that's going to be your career. A lot of people drop out at, that time because that's kind of the crossroads. It's like, well, it's either shit or get off the pot. I want to do this for the rest of my life or don't. And you're finding now, less and less people are apt to do it.
Yeah.
I had to go to the county health board in Abilene to get a birth certificate, 10 years ago or something. And the same place that I had to go into one office to get a birth certificate, the office next door was the free food and shit deal. And I got there and all these fucking kids are talking and smiling. Every one of them's got a $6,000 set of braces on their teeth. Their moms are signing up for free this, free that, free this, free that. And they're all getting free shit. And not one of them, some bitches, has a J-O-B. And that bothered me. Because if my kids had braces, which they all did, guess Andy smiling to the camera so basically see them? That's $6,000 right there that we had to pay for. We did it 3 times. We basically spent $20,000 in gas and miles coming back and forth to put braces on 3 boys. But because you're born poor or a different color or whatever it is, you get free fucking braces. And that's bullshit. Buy them all free titties too then when they get older. I mean, fuck, what are we going to stop it at that for?
So here's what I saw the other day that I thought it's interesting and terrifying all at the same time. It took 63% of all personal income taxes in February to pay the interest on the national debt. No, that's not improving roads, military, schools, no Social Security, just the interest on the note.
And we're going to go borrow more money to give to somebody else.
For February, the U.S. government collected $120 billion from individual taxes. They had to spend $76 billion in February to pay the interest on the national debt alone.
That's insane.
It's fucking stupid. But you can get someone, whether you like Donald Trump or not, or you get a Mark Cuban. He's a liberal cocksucker, but we can use Mark Cuban. You get Mark Cuban in, and you give him that money, and you say, take care of this, and Mark Cuban could fix that.
But hold on, Jeff.
What?
That did not happen under Trump.
No, because we had through COVID. Things were leaning that way. I said you can bring Mark Cuban in.
I will agree with that, but Trump's already had a crack at this, and the national debt just went up under him. Now, you can blame COVID. You can blame whatever you want, but the results are the results.
Okay.
So
the national debt also includes, like, all currency, correct? Am I correct in saying that all United States currency is included in the national debt?
Whatever they're printing.
I don't know.
But that's why I said Mark Cuban, since you're anti-Trump. Now, you're up Kennedy's ass.
I'm not anti-Trump. I'm just calling a spade a spade.
Kennedy and Rogers. So anyways.
Or Mike Rowe. Dirty Jobs. Okay.
I think Mike Rowe would be better than Aaron Rodgers would be.
Maybe.
But
Mike Rowe is probably... That is one thing that is concerning about Rodgers is he's just been a professional athlete.
He's never in tune to being poor or nothing.
Like Mike Rowe at least knows the plight of, and maybe Aaron Rodgers. I know nothing about Aaron Rodgers. Never talked to the man. Maybe he's in tune with the small man, the poor guy.
I think Mike Rowe would be better.
Right.
But let's say Mark Cuban, who I'm not a fan of, but Mark Cuban was president and a businessman, and you let him take care of that, he would knock some of that down because he's got common sense. Donald Trump had common sense. Before COVID, the country was going in the right direction. But we can't continue the same thing with these politicians that have they have never created a fucking job in their lifetime. Bernie Sanders now wants to make work week 32 hours a week.
4 days a week.
For the same amount of pay. And his answer was, well, Jeff Bezos. Well, I'm not worried about Jeff Stanfield. What about people that own a small business that have four employees? You know, that fucker, how's he going to pay the people same and get 20% less work out of them? It don't work that way. Well, but he has never created a job in his fucking life.
And nurses, I'm sure nurses and cops will be left out of that.
Of course you will.
Usually if they do something like that, nurses, cops are pretty well the redheaded stepchildren. And
right.
They get removed from that kind of legislation.
But a federal fucking employee won't, though, unless it's an officer. The other federal employees won't. They'll be like, hell yeah, I'm voting for that shit. We get off every Friday now, but we're going to get the same pay. And I think there's 2.5 million federal employees that aren't counting military and law enforcement is what I saw the other day. We can cut all of them fucking jobs.
But now I'll be the resident Democrat here.
Boy, you're doing a good job of it.
There is a chart that has shown how the average worker has increased productivity exponentially at a rate that has not matched the pay. Like they're outproducing their pay by like 400 or 500%.
Go get another job.
I'm not saying yay or nay to the 4 day work week. Okay. I like the 5 day work week. It's worked for us forever. Work 6-7 days a week. I don't give a fuck. Work however long you want.
Most successful people do.
But there is evidence that supports that the average worker be American is outproducing at a much higher rate than it ever thought that they could do 50 years ago.
It's because they got better machines.
When the 40-hour, you work 40 hours a week for 40 years and we'll give you this bullshit Social Security.
Has Walmart and Dollar General not taught these people anything? They don't need people anymore. They let fucking machines do every fucking thing.
Right. And that's going to be an issue too.
I mean, that's one of the problems. Well, you are becoming a fucking liberal on me big time.
It's just not a baseless claim. Like Bernie Sanders didn't wake up one day like, you know what? 32 hours a week, 4 days a week sounds about right to me. Like there is evidence that he could use to support that.
He doesn't understand how business works. If you're open 7 days, let's open your 5 days a week. You're a mom and pop auto store and you work Monday through Friday and then nobody works on Friday. You lose 20% of your income coming in too.
And maybe it's just where I am. I don't really see a whole lot of businesses that are only open 5 days a week. Most of the places here are open 7 or 6. So, yeah,
we have a lot of stuff closed on Sundays. And
right. Like they'll take one day off, but like, I don't see the average business. I'm trying to think in town and now we're in a smaller town, but
the oil field supply places aren't open on weekends, or if they're open on Saturdays, they're only open until noon. Right. But most of them take at least. But if you worked for my father-in-law, they owned an oil field supply company, and you walked in and said, hey, I'm only going to work Monday through Thursday. He'd say, okay, that's fine. Go ahead and just leave now. We'll hire somebody else.
Right.
Because they're going to hire someone else. But what he said, well, and we want their pay to be the same. And then Jeff Bezos was the person he used. Yeah, let's a guy worth $100 billion. Let's use him as an example. No, let's use example that they're so out of touch because they don't understand what makes it work. You know, why are there so many restaurants that closed during COVID? They couldn't handle losing, being closed down for 6 months to a year. Mm-hmm. Well, I couldn't. You shut me down for a year, we'd be out of business. You know, I'd be on the corner begging.
Yeah. You know, that's when they pretty much just starts. It's either be open against policy or close.
I obviously had to
abide by what the rules were, but I still ordered out. So at one business in the town, which is very pro-police business, that they're open. I went in to grab, they had a prime rib special. Man, I had a hankering for a prime rib. So I went in there and grabbed it. And it was like, everybody's like, stopped, looked at me at the door. And the owner comes rushing up. He's like, do we have a complaint? I'm like, no, I'm just here for my food.
I ordered.
It went silent. Everybody's like, oh, man. It's like a speakeasy.
You know what's stupid about that whole thing? Looking back, I talked to a guy getting gas at Bucky's yesterday. All this shit was shut down. Everybody had to wear a mask and shit. And there ain't nothing fucking changed about COVID that whole time. Nothing. Nothing at all's changed. Mm-hmm. The vaccine don't work. I mean,
now it's 24 hours.
Yeah.
24 hours after being a fever, you can go back to work instead of five.
Yeah. Or all of a sudden you had to shut everything down. You had to wear a mask. You couldn't do this. You couldn't do that. All restaurants were closed. Unless you worked at Home Depot, then it was okay to work. And we were okay with that. We were like, oh, okay, yeah, them Home Depot people, they're different, you know, or a nurse, you know, it's okay for a nurse to work or whatever it was. But we got to close the schools down. Just looking back how stupid we were. And yes, that's all on Trump's record. So I know you're going to go ahead and pull that out next, Mr. Liberal. But
see how he does it.
But
you just can't see
he's quick on it.
Well, no, I mean, it's just
Trump got a lot of bad advice from people that he trusted.
And I'm not disagreeing with that. But you just go to resort to name calling. And what all I do, huge fucking liberal. All I do is...
Why would anybody not... If you never listened to our podcast before, you'd think, the fat guy's pretty smart. That other fucker's a liberal.
No, you're just so boxed into one corner that you can't ever see a possible scenario to another side of how anybody's ever thinking.
I was pissed at Trump when he signed his first budget. I was really mad then because there was some spending we did that I don't think we should have done.
Let's put the orange man back in office. Give him the pen again.
We need to. Bad. You don't think we need to?
Kennedy.
Yep. What's the United States population?
350 million? 350 million probably.
Why are we picking 75-plus-year-old people to run? I mean, there has to be fucking some sort of qualified candidate.
Exactly.
Name a young person that could do it right now.
Exactly. Nobody, number one.
They don't give anybody a chance. I don't know.
Ramaswamy?
Pretty smart 30-year-olds.
You are right about that. You got to be 35 to be a president. I think that's federal law. But you are correct on that. They keep everything off the deal. Same with John Cornyn. He'll probably get reelected in Texas, and nobody likes the fucker as our state senator, or U.S. senator. But he'll probably get reelected because the Republican Party's not going to let nobody run against him that has a chance. They're going to primary him to death, and they do that everywhere. That Ramaswamy guy probably would be a good president. I would give you that.
Here's why nobody young can run. He spent $30 million of his own money to run for, what was he in, 2 months?
Yeah, but
he's
probably going to be the vice president.
But that's what I'm saying. What 40-year-old could go spend $30 million on a failed presidential run to get your name out there for 2 months? Nobody can do it. I've got a lot of great ideas. I can't go spend $30 million, and I don't know anybody that would back me for $30 million.
We had some exchange students from Wales over here. It was a while ago. But somebody made a comment, or they told us during one of their conversations, an American said, man, it's crazy to think that you guys have a royal family running everything. Like, one family's in charge of everything. That's crazy.
Right.
And their response was, I think it's pretty crazy how you allow other politicians to make money and basically, you know, get paid to make decisions for people.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, if you put it that way, that is correct. I mean, you can't really sway the royal family with money, right? Because they have everything.
Right.
Yeah. But like, you know, people going to Capitol Hill and paying this person $30 million or 30, whatever it is, mm-hmm. paying them to also now bring your issue to light. Like,
yeah.
And the fact that you said $30 million on a campaign.
Yeah. And he wasn't even in it, but for a couple months. He made it to the debate stage.
And we let businesses and a special interest group sway all of our politics by lobbying. And we're like, oh, okay. So you're fucking getting paid. You're getting blackmailed, but we're okay with that because it's called lobbying. Our whole system's fucked up. I saw where the, not to change the subject, but this is kind of different, but it's kind of the same thing. One of the casinos in Las Vegas is given $10 million, and they're going to run an NCAA tournament before the season starts. The winning team gets all the money to split up between all their players.
That's smart.
NCAA, yeah, it is for them because they're going to get all the big teams. But the NCAA's got a serious issue. I saw Nick Saban went to Congress yesterday. The NIL is ruining college football. It's college sports. Yep, it's ruining college sports. But you're going to tell these teams, you go there, and if you win, we're going to split up $10 million or whatever. I think it was $10 million. But they're going to let them players, the winning team, split all that money up.
You'll win.
They're going to want to win.
I assume they're going to probably have the upper hand on any kind of gambling that goes on in that tournament, which would be, you know, how much is that going to be worth?
Right.
Insane. I saw where Calvin Ridley, who got in trouble for gambling,
mm-hmm.
180 to 1 odds he wouldn't sign with Tennessee. That was the odds on it. Now, that's a for sure bet for him. That was the deal. So
yeah, but he can't.
Why?
Well, he can't. But he can.
His people could. Yeah.
Tell his dad, listen, go put $10,000 on me. I'm signing with the Titans.
Yeah, but
yeah.
I mean, what's
that would come under scrutiny?
Why would it be under scrutiny?
I don't know. We'd have to talk to James. We need to get James back in here to see what all the. I would be interested to know if your immediate family could place a bet on you.
What about, well, it doesn't matter. It'd be fucking JoJo down at the liquor store he told. I mean, whatever
right,
it is.
Right, I
mean,
right. But I mean, if he said, hey, Dad, I'm in the game plan this week, bet on the over of 99 and
what are
half
the odds
yards.
On vice president for Trump? You can bet on that in Vegas, I'll bet
no,
you.
I know.
Who's the leading odds maker on that right now?
I don't know. I bet it's Tulsi, though. My early prediction, it's going to be Tulsi.
I hope it is, too. I like her. She's got a lot of experience, a veteran.
Fucking Democrat.
Why? She is a Democrat. She is a Democrat.
The Bears signed Keenan Allen.
Yeah, I saw that too. What? The Keenan Allen went to the Bears. Oh, yeah. I wonder what's going to happen with the Bears because they've got this Justin Fields deal. I don't think worked out they would. I think they thought that someone was going to give them a first round pick for him. Why? I don't know why, but I don't understand.
I don't know.
The Giants.
And I don't know if that's also some strategery. Like, I don't know if they plan on keeping Fields and they're just playing that saying, well, now he's not worth anything. So we might have to keep him out of spite and see if people start paying him more. I don't know. You know, if they flood the rumor mill with they're trying to trade Fields, maybe that makes other teams think that they're more, I don't know, more likely to trade that first round pick. I don't know. I mean, first of all, I'm not a genius football follower by any means. I enjoy watching it, but as a Bears fan, I really don't care either way if they draft a quarterback or if they keep Fields.
Caleb Williams
is fun to watch.
Caleb Williams better be good because he's sure talks a lot, and I think they're building him up more. Kind of reminds me of the Lonzo Ball boys for the NBA, and mm-hmm. so I don't know. I think his dad's giving him a lot of bad advice.
Seems dramatic to me. But.
Yep. The Giants, if I was the New York Giants, I would offer a third round pick for Justin Fields. That's what I'd do. If he doesn't work out, he's only got one more year left on his contract, then let him go. Because you got Daniel Jones that's not working out.
Williams, like he's generational talent. How many times has that been?
I mean,
Trevor Lawrence. Now, Trevor Lawrence is good, right?
Yeah. Caleb Williams.
Is he everything they expected?
Well, Caleb Williams is going to have more. When you got Keenan Allen and DJ Moore, you got two good quarterbacks and you got two good wide receivers and you got DeAndre Swift. That's good. I saw where the Cincinnati Bengals turned down a trade that I probably would have, or the Minnesota Vikings did that I would have made. Cincinnati offered T. Higgins and two first round draft picks for Justin Jefferson. I would have done that.
Oof.
Because T. Higgins and Justin Jefferson, I don't think is a big drop off for, and you get two first round picks.
Right. Go for the picks.
And the Bengals pick this year is probably 12 or 14. They didn't make the playoffs.
Right.
So
I think Minnesota just got a first round pick from the Texans too for something.
But I would have made that trade.
Yeah.
In a heartbeat, I would have made that trade. I saw where the Bears did make a trade today. I think it was Chicago or somebody might have traded a first round pick to Minnesota. Matter of fact, traded.
Oh, the Texans, I think.
The Texans, yeah, to move up to get their first round pick. They swapped picks or something so they could get or wanted to draft a quarterback.
It'll be interesting.
Anyways, I'm ready for football already, just about. I'm ready for summer, but I'm also kind of ready for football.
Turkey season.
Hell yeah.
I've been listening for turkey. Like, so usually me and my friend, who I talk to you guys about, he's a judge. We spend quite a lot of time scouting turkeys, so we've kind of been out and about. I work 3 to 11, so usually every morning I was able to go out and scout and listen. But with my wife's new schedule, that leaves me to get my kids on the bus and do that stuff. So I'm kind of reserved to just my days off on Saturday, Sunday to do that. But other than that, yeah, after we get off here, I'm going to go run some errands. I'll probably go scout some of my little fields and see what's going on. I mean, where we're at in central Illinois, it's mainly cornfields with some inline timber in it, but that timber tends to have a pretty good turkey population. They're fed well, and there's not a lot of turkey hunters in this county. So kind of lucked out on that. And then we plan on going to southern Illinois for a week, hunt down there in the Shawnee National Forest, and then go to Michigan, I think, maybe for a weekend or something like that. But
when do y'all open, like April 15th?
The 15th. So Monday, we have five seasons. Mm-hmm. Monday through Friday's first season, then we'll have second season, which is the Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We'll leave for turkey camp southern Illinois for 5 days or 7 days or something like that, and then come back. So I'm pretty, like I said, if I had to choose tomorrow, what are you going to hunt for the rest of your life? It'd probably be turkeys, followed by duck, followed by deer and goose. I don't care about anymore. Like we do a fair amount of goose hunting up here, like with, just Canada's, big geese. We don't get a lot of the cacklers mm-hmm. anymore. Speckle bellies actually have been pretty prevalent around this area for whatever reason.
They're going to start showing up and they never leave.
Well, and that's, crazy. And we've killed a few. I have a little gravel pit blind over here, and then I also hunt the Illinois River. We've killed some over there. We killed several snows over there this year too. But actually, I was telling Jeff at Turkey that I started listening to you guys because a guy I hunt with was on the podcast in like episode 160 or something. Mm-hmm. He was talking about hunting the Illinois River, and it's a year draw. So every year we go over there and have a duck blind drawing, and you have to construct the blind from basically dirt up. And we drew two this year. We had like 120 people with us in our group, and it's how many it took to draw that many. But
yeah.
But anyway, that's when I started listening to you guys and listened to you ever since. So
we appreciate that. Yeah, turkey hunting, it's more sustainable. Like if you said, hey, you can only hunt one for the rest of your life, it'd have to be turkey just because it's weather's nice. You're not carrying mm-hmm. a bunch of shit around. And I just enjoy just being out there more than anything. Like, of course, I enjoy calling in birds and all that other stuff, but the weather's beautiful here in Texas that time of year.
Everything's just now turning green up here, at least the grasses. And they're actually starting to find morels or mushrooms in southern Illinois. So, that's about a week early-ish, I think.
Right.
But last year, we were down there the 25th of April, and we just hauled them big old yellow morels. We did a pretty good haul on them, which I guess is also, also a plus for the spring.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you get turkeys and morels. Like, Jesus, that's a full meal right there.
You know, how many you guys kill, or how many can you kill in Texas?
Four, where we are.
Four, okay.
Yeah, it's, we're seeing a lot of turkey numbers declining, so that's a lot. I wouldn't be shocked if the numbers continue to dip like this, if they cut that back a little bit.
Yeah, we're at three, and we have a fall season, but I don't...
We have a fall season.
They only killed, 250 turkeys during the fall or something like that, which probably, I don't know. I've never fall turkey hunted, except we have a $5 archery tag that we can do mm-hmm. For turkeys. But even then, I don't know. I'll there's something a lot different about the spring than there's a fall. So we'll see. Have you guys had Mike Chamberlain on?
Yeah, we had him on before turkey.
Okay. So sorry, you and I, there's two podcasts basically I listen to, or no, three, I'm sorry. You guys, and then what the hell is that? you guys.
Mike must be listening.
Mossy Oak Gamekeepers podcast, I'm pretty big into that, and the Turkey Hunter podcast. And Mike Chamberlain floats through all three of you guys, and it's funny, you listen to him three times a year and get different, you can get more updated information. It seems like he never... it's always interesting listening to him.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that. And, man, I tell you what, listen to Maddie Robinson and Stale Cracker and stuff like that. You guys had on. You guys bring some good people on. I don't know what.
Yeah. I mean,
kind of drought you're in to bring me on, but
we, we want to cast a wide net. and we want to be well-rounded. So, you know, if you box yourself into a corner, like if we would have just stuck with waterfowl hunting, we would have never had you listen because, you know, or you wouldn't have stayed if we just hammered home the waterfowl hunting. But if you cast a wide net and you talk to a bunch of different interesting people that have knowledge and boots on the ground mentality, then, you know, you get people, you get more people to listen and they're more likely to stick around.
Waterfowl hunters are more than just waterfowl hunters. There are some out, there are some podcasts out there that's just waterfowl.
Yeah.
But they're way, way, way down the list. We're way, way up the list because we talk about other things. I mean, like Andy said, you talk about the same shit all the time. Nobody wants to listen to it. So everybody has, but every waterfowl hunter I know,
don't owe anybody anything either. Like no. you guys aren't doing this podcast that have to owe anybody or doing this as a favor to anybody. You're doing it for yourself. So that, you know, that shows interest to regular guys like myself and, you know, whoever. And like I said, you know, you do have a wide net. Like having me on the same podcast as Mike Chamberlain is a pretty, you know, pretty big deal for me, I'm sure.
Well, you
said, I don't know what kind of drought you're in, but.
But you look at the, you go sit in a duck blind. Do you talk about just duck hunting? No. You talk about what's going on in the world. So that's the same people that we're talking about. We try to be like, we are ourselves. We don't change for anybody, and we like our guests to be themselves. And we want to get everyone on here and tell their story. And you're a police officer, and I appreciate what you do. You have a really, really tough job, one of the hardest jobs in America, if not the hardest job, and a very thankless job. Most thankless job is being a mayor of a small town, but being a police officer is pretty close. But we appreciate you being on here with us very much and hope to see you again. And I guess
if you guys continue to go back to Turkey, I'm going to try to make that my tradition. But I caught a lot of shit from my friends that was with me. It was a firefighter with me at the turkey bingo, which is gross, but caught a lot of shit for being a fanboy. Cause I'm like, well, I gotta get to see these guys. And cause I listened to their podcast. So later on during our trip, every time I said podcast, they drank. So they made a game of it. So,
no, it was great. We enjoyed meeting everybody.
So I saw you guys out, and then Dave Owens, I don't know if you watch any of his content with the Pinhoti Project.
Oh, right, yeah. Yeah.
He has some awesome turkey content on there. But other than that, like I said, I appreciate it. And
well, thank you for coming on here.
We appreciate
it. It's been very interesting and enlightening. And like Jeff said, you guys have a thankless job. So stay safe out there. And if there's anything we can ever do for you in the future, let us know, okay?
Awesome.
Thank you, sir.
Hopefully see you next year. And
We'll look forward to
it. You be safe, my friend. Thank you very much.
Bye.
Yep.
Great dude. What a tough, thankless job
right there.
If you want to come back and see Andy this weekend, he will be in Tulsa, Oklahoma at the Bass Classic. He'll be signing some man boobs again, probably there like you did in Nashville.
Only the ones with nipple rings.
We'll be with the Onum Fishing with Matty Robertson and with Dirk and Boss. I think Thumbs is going to be there, me and you. Look forward to seeing you.
Brody will be there from Pattern.
Brody from Pattern Pros will be there, and Wyatt from Mallard Bay will be there also. So come by and see us in Tulsa, Oklahoma this weekend. Thank y'all, and God bless y'all.
Love you. Bye. Watch for deer. Go check out Mallard Bay. They got a lot of cool things going on. Guide Tech. If you're wanting to book a hunt, that's the way to go. Mossberg, Stanfield Outfitters, Alpha Outdoor Specialties, Hemp Hill Farm. Use the promo code BHP. Double T British Kennels. Ducks Unlimited, Looking Glass Podcast, Lucky Duck, Shin Gear, Dirty Duck Coffee, Dive Bomb Industries, Pacific Calls, use the promo code BHP25, Boss Shot Shells, and MLR Graphics.